Let's roll.
Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah. She so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah, she so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me egg.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. This is your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And tonight, I'm going to do the same thing. But tonight, I got a special guest, too. So, you know, we're going to double up on y'all, man. We're going to give y'all some information and stuff like that. But before I bring my guest on, I got to let y'all know what's going on out here. So definitely have to start the show off like I do each and every week. Giving thanks to all of y'all that download the audio version of this platform. I definitely appreciate y'all, like I say, each and every week. Because listen, y'all guys listening to us, right? And y'all all over the world. It ain't really too much about what you're seeing. It's about what you're hearing. And I like that because that means that what we're giving the people is information that they can rock with. Something to make them think about and something to make them spark a conversation, all right? Because that's the whole means of this platform, right? Is that we got to be able to give people something more than just entertainment and clickbait and then just trying to go viral just to be the next something. You know what I'm saying? It's people out here in this world that really need to get their thing off. And I be thinking about that when it comes to the major news outlets. You know how that go. They all controlled by the same major companies that's doing the same BS that they doing to everybody in the background anyway. So it's a lot of people out here with real stories, man. And they need an outlet to get them real stories out. And that's what I'm here for. You know, we have fun on the platform too, right? I talk about all kinds of stuff on here. I done had psychics and everything else up here. So y'all know the vibe. Like I said, this is a platform for some of the world's most interesting people. You feel what I'm saying? And then at the same time, man, I got to do my part too to make sure that people who need to get their thing off have a place that they can get that off. And that's what we're here for. So thank y'all to all the people that download the audio version. I definitely appreciate y'all. I bet. So I got to give a few shout outs before I move on, all right? And I start giving y'all that rant because y'all know I got some shit to pop off real quick because it's crazy out here. They're always trying to add us in some stuff that we ain't got no business being in. But look, check this out. To all of y'all that's pushing play on Kill No One Part 1, thank y'all, man. It's rolling. The numbers are doing really good. Shout out to y'all, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all keep that momentum up, y'all. I definitely appreciate y'all. I just want y'all to know that, all right? Word. And then part two is out right now too, and it's starting to pick up a lot too, so thank y'all on that too, right? Because like I tell y'all each and every time, man, it's like something to believe in yourself, right? You know, so many things out here that put people in a position to make them feel like they can't do something, they're not supposed to do something, or a certain time is passing, they bugging, y'all. Word. We don't play that. We don't wait. We create around here. So oh, to all the homeowners out here, listen, let me holler at y'all for a second, man. Y'all see what's going on out here. Y'all know that, hold on, before I bring that up, let me just tell y'all, y'all know that 30% tax deduction is going away after this year, right? So if y'all homeowners, y'all need to jump on and get this solar in y'all crib, man, because y'all, look, this, I'm talking about even if the power go out, you won't go out, right? We talking about living completely off the grid if you need to, but you know, but here's my thing. I'm not trying to say nothing to make somebody do something they shouldn't do. I'm just saying if you're a homeowner and you watch this platform, I just want to make sure y'all get the information, all right? Because it's a whole lot more that come to it. I don't want to repeat everything right now. I just want y'all to pay attention. Here's the flyer. Y'all see the number on there. Text that number on there. Y'all can take a screenshot or whatever. Text that number on there and just tell them that Rob sent you and you're interested in figuring out how you can get them so in your crib, y'all, along with a whole lot of other things that come along with it. And remember, the extra 30% of them taxes, if you own a crib, man, will be sitting nice on you. And like I said, we gotta pay attention because it's out here. I bet. So, look, I got a couple of other things. Oh, 420 in the fall. Y'all know the vibe, y'all. It's going down. So y'all got an RSVP. If y'all want to get on the guest list, y'all be in the building, man. We got a bunch of vendors going to be out there, the whole nine, man. Lit sticks in the building. So, enterprising, right? This is an industry that so many of my brothers and sisters have been incarcerated for. Just simple stuff like this. And then now it's a billion-dollar business and they're trying everything they can to not let us in. Well, sometimes we got to start from a certain place. And then that place got to be small. So double shout out to the people over at Litsticks. It's going down. So y'all know the vibe. Y'all just screenshot, bring this back. Look, get the information and show up, all right? Okay, back. So look. All right, a lot of stuff been going on all week, right? All right, so before I bring my guest up, y'all know I got to do this rant. I'm not understanding why. Like, I get a thing, man, where, you know, emotionally, we all are dealing with stuff that just helps us to understand that either we have family or we don't. And a lot of times we kind of look at that from a particular perspective, like, you know, because a lot of times the family that you develop or the people that you develop as family is not necessarily people that that share your same blood or whatever. Or are they? You get what I'm saying? Because a lot of things we just don't know about who we are. We just allow them to give us titles and we run with that and we just say that and we just call ourselves shit that they just say that we are. But we the only people in the world who they just give a title to, like, every chance, every time they feel like it. There's no other group of people in the world who had to wear all these different titles that it wasn't a history behind the titles that they have, whether it's the Persians and now what they are now. You know, all these other things that we know about, okay, back, but still at the end of the day they know about it. But for us over here, they want us to believe that we all came over here on some ships and we all was bought and sold and was all captured, man, all that corny shit. Like, nah, a lot of us was already here, and I get it. But the thing that's killing me is that whenever we are a group of people that share skin color, I guess they feel like we all supposed to feel the same way about everything. Like, look, you know how many people have reached out to me just based on the platform wanting to talk about what's going on in D.C. and asking me, y'all, but not even asking me, like saying I should be up there and I should be talking about this, that, and the third and standing with the people against what's going on and all this other shit. And I'm like, yo, like, okay, so here's my thing. So to all the people that was getting mugged and getting robbed and getting killed and getting shot that was going on in D.C., because y'all know if y'all went and checked the stats, what was going on in D.C. out there for the last couple of years, it's been going crazy out there. So if y'all didn't go do the same protesting for them, like, why is it something that we supposed to go because everybody wants to throw racism on it? Like, everything ain't always about racism, and then the things that really are, it can't really get the play that it needs because everything that go on in the world, people want to throw in that box and throw us in the box with it. Shit is corny, yo. And I don't feel like, you know, there's real causes that we should be all standing on. Like, right now, like, the fact that everything that is exists in America, we spend the money on, but it's not one single solitary thing that we actually own the industry. We own a bunch of barbershops and shit, yo, and stuff like that. And I'm not knocking that. I'm saying about how many haircuts we need, but at the end of the day, I'm still not knocking that. What I'm saying is that, yo, there's a lot more to what is out there for us than just the things that just, you know, that just look like it's all we can do is the smallest little piece of something. Right? We got real shit that we got laws we need to change, y'all. This stuff is going on in these states that they doing to people that has been in these books since the 1800s. Yo, word is born. Like, it's people getting in power that look just like us, yo, in these states and all that, and none of these laws is getting changed. Like, yo, come on, man. How? Like, what's going on? Like, people just want a title out here in these streets, yo. And that's the saddest thing about it. Like, what does a title mean, yo? Like, what's that really mean, yo? Like, for real, like, you can hold a title all you want to, but if you don't hold the morals, if you don't hold the faculties, man, if you don't got that thing, if you ain't him or her when it comes down to what you're saying, you can't stand on it. Like, what the fuck is a title, yo? Like, why is that the thing? Yo, people getting in these positions, man, and they get these titles, and they don't do nothing, yo, while they in the space, yo. They don't do nothing but get money, yo. That's all they do. They come in there a certain way, and they come out just there, one of them, you know? And it's sad because, look, We got this thing about us that it just puts us in this position. So look, check this out. So they had this lady, yo, I can't remember which DMV that she was at, but she was in the DMV, right? So boom. So some people stepped to her and they was like, yo, we got this deal. Like, yo, you want to make some money? And she was like, what you mean? They was like, yo, we charging the people that come over here, we charging them $200 just to get their license and all that. And we, they ain't got to take no tests or nothing. We just going to give it to them. And so, of course, she wasn't with it. So she went and told. Like, I don't really, you know what I'm saying? That's what she did. She went and told. But, of course, she lost her job and all that other stuff because mad people got caught. And they have been doing it for the last, 4 years. They have been doing it for the last 4 years. And these people, they was adding up the money that these people was making at the DMV, people that worked there just on the side. And these people that was getting these licenses, they ain't know nothing. They ain't know how to read. Them ones, they ain't even know English. They were just, yo, it was mad vehicles. Like, yo, all kind of accident, all kind of stuff going on. And I just hate the fact that people could be so corrupt over money, yo. Like, listen, man, I thought money was supposed to be a tool that we use, man. Our ultimate goal should be freedom and not. Everybody just want to get money just to be greedy, just to say they have it, and they'll do anything for it. And something like that, all the people they put in jeopardy just for a few dollars, man. Like, yo, I don't get it. I don't get it. But look, I'm not going to go on too much, man, because, you know, I got two guests tonight, man, and we got to talk about some things, man, because we got to bring it back again, because both of these ladies that I had on before, I had them on separately, but tonight I have them on together. And but they're dealing with the same scenario, right? And here's the thing, man. Laws. Whenever a person can suffer a significant loss like these two ladies have, but still take that energy and turn it into helping other people that have gone through the same similar situation as they have and not take it upon themselves to just feel, you know, I can't use the word selfish, but just feel like, you know, it should be them that everybody need to gather around and make sure that they good and help them fight. Like these two women right here, yo, have had to suffer, man, in a way that I don't think a lot of people in this position would have been able to deal with and stand on like they have, yo. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, everybody can't handle everything, man. And as much as a lot of people out here want to act like they could do it all, these certain people can't. And then there's a few people out here in the world that help you to understand they got superpowers. Now, did they want to go through what they went through in order for them to discover that they had these superpowers? No, but the fact that they do, because they helping so many other people that are going through the same thing or similar things with the loss of a loved one. But I mean, I'm not just talking about, I mean, the loss of their child. Like, that's a whole nother level of what, you know, of loss. And I get it, you know. Everybody has their thing or what they feel like is above or below and all these other things. And I get that respectfully. You know what I mean? That's not the goal here, is to put anything in a chronological order. I'm just saying that whenever it's that significant and the energy is turned on to making sure that you're there for other people while still fighting your own fight at the same time, because they still fighting. But from my understanding, it's some things that have transpired since the last time I talked to both of them that looks like they both are going in a way that they wanted to go. And I'm talking about the power of manifestation and how that can work. We got to understand that, right? What we think is what we are. And when these two ladies are putting in perspective what they are, they getting the shit done. And I'm just thankful that they chose my platform as always to come up here and share their information and share their story, all right? Because they could give it to anybody, you know what I mean? So thankfully they chose me. I'm so appreciative of them, and I'm about to bring them up, yo, so we can get this shaking, you know what I mean? I got a comment already. All right, my guy, yo. Oh, what's good, bro? How you, man? Definitely, man. Double salute to you, man, and everybody that's around you right now at this moment. All right, let me bring the ladies up, man, so we can get to it. Uh-oh, what's going on, y'all? I think the microphones are muted. Y'all mics are muted on y'all end, y'all. There y'all go. What's going? What's well? B, yours is muted.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Is that right?
I'm
unmuted. Yeah, okay. We hear you.
All right, good. So, what's going on with you, Ashley?
Same old. You know, out here fighting, working, staying positive.
Listen, I could dig that. But look, here's the thing, man. You know, you guys have been on the platform before, right? And you know, you guys' story is, like I said, it's you guys are sharing a similar story and in the manner that things happen to y'all. So let's do this real quick. Let's bring the audience of now up to speed of, you know what I'm saying, individually, of what y'all fight is individually first. And we're going to get into how y'all helping everybody else, but let's start with that. Either one of y'all could go ahead and start first.
All right, Ashley, I'll let you go. I did see something came through on, because I know you had Meg was scheduled on too. I see she's messaged something to you, Rashid. It came through my Facebook. So I don't know, but I seen that. But Ashley, okay. You go ahead, because you okay. Know how to, yeah.
Okay, so I am Ashley McKenzie, and I'm the mother of Jalen McKenzie, who was tragically killed during a traffic stop in Memphis, Tennessee, December 16, 2022. So currently, we're almost at 3 years of fighting. Actually, today, we were supposed to go to trial. this was our first set date for trial. We got it pushed back. But he passed 2 weeks before Tyree Nichols, and that was one of the controversial type issues that we had with his story really didn't get seen or heard. We had to kind of push it out there because Tyree Nichols was a more of a high profile case. And so I love his family to death. And so we kind of piggyback on a lot of times I'll share his Tyree Nichols name along with Jalen just because they were so close to each other. And like I said, right. I have mad love for their family, especially Tyree's mom. I call her mama. So yeah. We're together a lot of times when I may not feel the best spirit-wise because our kids were tragically taken in the same city. So in Jalen's case, there are so many pieces. The officer was a rookie cop. He had just got hired 5 months before Jalen was taken. It was a pretextual traffic stop. They had no reason to pull the boys over. Jalen was a passenger. They ran after Jalen. And Jalen ran for his life. So you guys can actually go on Google or you can go to my page. It's Ashley McKenzie. And see Jalen is actually pinned to the top of my Facebook page. And you can see the actual video itself. There's not too many things that we really talk about at this point because we are in litigation stages. But there, the things that are out there is that the officer was a rookie. He did not have on his body camera footage. He cut it off after roll call. So he did his entire shift without the body camera on. Also, if you listen to the footage, you hear the officers in the car. They're listening to killer rap music. It was Chirac, and I think that's by Meek Mill, who's the author of that song. And so that was pretty disturbing, but you can hear them listening to that. You see the officer texting while they're chasing these boys. They also, the sirens on the car didn't work. What else can I say? They also, you can hear them in the car say, there's nothing we can do to them but scare them. And so you made that comment, but that night, my son died. So those are just some of the key pieces. Again, you can go look at it on my Facebook page and look at the video of the redacted pieces that they gave us. And what's sad is that they redacted the video, but it still left us with so many more questions than I had before. That video was also not the same video that we watched a week, I wouldn't even say a week, it may have been like 3 days, 3 or 4 days before they actually released this footage that we didn't even know was going to be released. We asked them when they were going to release it so that we could prepare ourselves for what the public would see, and they didn't. And they just went on. I ended up getting a call from one of the media reporters, and they say, hey, Ashley, did you know they're getting ready to drop the video? No. So in our case, we never spoke to the DA. We never spoke to the chief of police. So we haven't had a chance to do that. My only interaction with the DA was at the Tyre Nichols court hearing, and I gave him a folder about Jalen. And gotcha. that was the only interaction that I actually had with the DA. So we didn't get the liberty of being able to talk or him hear our side or anything like that. So what he hears from us is pretty much what's recorded or whatever they're following us. Because we know that they're looking at all of our Facebook pages and things like that to follow to see what we put out. That's just one of the things that we try to stay away from, making sure that we don't put too much out there while we're going through the court process. Yeah, so those are the main pieces about Jalen. Jalen was a 20-year-old, born and raised here in Atlanta. He worked a job, was in college. He was out visiting family members. That's a lot of cool. That's another question we get.
And in Memphis. Well, Jalen was in Memphis because he has family out there. His dad's side is out there, and that was his third trip. He didn't get to see them much as a younger boy because I had to work, and I just don't believe in like letting my child just go to a whole other state, and I have absolutely no control. So that's something that he wanted to do as he got older, when he wanted to get closer to his siblings. And that's what he was out there doing for the holidays.
Gotcha. Yeah, man. And that's one of them things that I tell, like, whenever these stories come out, I try to make sure I encourage the watchers and the people that's listening, because, you know, people do listen to us on the audio version. I'm like, yo, you just never know what other people have gone through, right? Because, you know, that was your only child too.
It was, yes.
Right? And I think that part is what, you know, a lot of people don't understand, because we're going to get into how y'all are helping other people. But I just wanted to make sure that the people were brought up to speed about, first of all, your own personal fight, right? Of what you're going through. Because so many other people will be sitting up here trying to look at it from all these other things. Because when I first read y'all's story, it was a whole bunch of stuff, that comments that people were making. Oh, well, they was a bad parent. Oh, they was single parent, this, it was that. Same thing with V. It was all these negative comments out here when I was researching y'all, and before the first interaction that I had with y'all last year. And I was just like, damn, this how people feel? Like, yo. And I get the narrative too, because it the way that it looks, because it's the way that it's portrayed. Single parent, broken home, this one don't listen, this one at that, little boys and women, right? And then boom. And then when you think about it, some people be acting like these kids just be mad bad. No, you had a good kid, right? And so but that's what people will say, we say about all the kids.
Yeah.
But then, like, can any of the kids be good, though? Like, just because you think that, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, let me not do too much. Go ahead, V. Come on, it's your turn, y'all. Let's bring the people up to speed, y'all.
All right. So my son is Eric. Eric Holmes. He was 19 years old. His life was taken at work by an officer. Said that he reached for a firearm. That's what was put out on TV. They also said that it was an altercation. That was released, that it was an altercation. Well, when you guys see that video, you notice there was no altercation based on what was showed. Also, it was paperwork that was released, public records, that he never reached for a firearm, okay? So originally, that officer was charged with 7 charges. You do have some things that came into play. that we're not able to speak on. But I always tell people, and you made a comment, Rashid, to say, okay, you put out that everyone is bad. When are you going to move away from that bad narrative? Okay. When are you going to move away from what they show you? Because we know that the media has to give you a story. And that's why, Rashid, I'm so thankful for you. You know, when I first heard about you and came on your show, I was so excited because you're finding out what way do I go to a medium that would allow the truth to be given outside of the narrative that they give you on the medium. So no one looked at, well, why would this man be charged with 7 charges? Or why would this boy go up to even talk to an officer? So we are in the early phases of getting ready for trial. We haven't done mediation or anything like that yet. So we don't have a trial date. But it has been released that Eric did not reach for a firearm. And that Eric never had an altercation with an officer. He was a 19-year-old custodial father. He's always worked, okay? People say, why would he walk up to the police? You know, why would he go to the police? That question I still have, and it'll come out once court go on, but he just showed me. I used to say, don't come in my house saying Black Lives Matter, because I thought everything that they were saying on the news media, I thought it was true. I thought that they were actually fighting the police. I thought that they were actually pulling guns on the police. I thought they were shooting at the police and everything that the world was saying, because that's what they show us. And that's why I was so happy to meet Ashley and Jalen. And when you begin to look at these stories and you look at the narratives that they're giving you, you realize they're only giving you the narrative for their story. And if we don't have people like Rashid, if we don't find these private platforms, then our stories are put out the way that they're put out. So my child was put out as a car thief, and no one ever questioned, you know, that he was at work. You know, and a lot of other truths haven't came out yet. But I just, that truth that has been revealed, that we that was revealed in the beginning, but that has been revealed, that he never reached for a firearm and that he never fought with an officer. I just say, why is my kid dead? And and I think I can leave it at that. If I've asked you, did I answer it right? I mean, y'all
That's it. No, you good, because you know, like I said, I just wanted people, you know, because it's been some time since you guys been on the platform, and I'm just wanting the people that's watching to know, like, yo, what y'all's story is and how. Because when I say things about people like, yo, how strong they are, how resilient they are, and how selfless they are, you know, I just want people to understand from a place of where I'm pulling this from. Like, because you guys both be smiling, right? I be seeing y'all, you know, I'm following y'all, man. Y'all get on here yourself on the phone and y'all start talking. Hey, just like this. And you know, and y'all go, y'all get it in. And then y'all be chilling. Y'all show yourself chilling and all that other stuff. So you guys are balancing it out, although, you know, you have this thing that you're dealing with, because I understand how the subconscious is, you know. Like, for a lot of people, whenever they have something that's in them that's negative like that, whenever the thought comes into them, they automatically start feeling it in their body, and then it's some type of reaction, right? But it's never a positive reaction, like how you guys, and I'm sure y'all have y'all moments. Don't get me wrong, man. Y'all moms.
We do. Right? So
I know y'all have y'all moments. We have many moments.
Yeah. We're human. Yeah. We may move like machines sometimes, but we're definitely human.
Yeah, I know. So I don't even want to overlook that. But the point is that whatever those moments are, y'all have them, y'all get up, and then y'all get out, then y'all get in the service of other people that's dealing with the same thing. Because I want to talk about that, man, because the monuments, oh, man, I mean, just all of the things that you guys are doing to say their names monument, right? And all of those different things that you guys are a part of. And then you have other ways and organizations that you guys have put together. I'm calling it organizations that you guys have put together in order for certain people to be able to at least reach out and figure out some things on the midst of what you guys have going on. So let's talk about that stuff too, because personally, y'all both are in a space where we can't talk too much about the other stuff, right?
I can say that we do have our trial date. Because we was able to get it switched from today because we don't have the discovery. We don't have any anything that's not redacted at this point. So gotcha. I refuse to go to trial and not have all the facts. And right. So our attorney was able to get it pushed to June 22nd of 2026. We've already been through the mediation stages and all that stuff. So we're moving. Gotcha. A lot of times we don't speak on our kids' cases, like the specifics. It's just because we have to be very careful of what's being put out there. We get mad. Mm. We get sad, just like any other family that's fighting. But we know that it's a long haul. We know it's just not an overnight thing. And then we have each other. And that's one of the things we talk probably a million times a day. And we hold each other accountable. And that's one of the things that's probably actually that got us through it. You know, your family's there for a short while. But because they don't have to walk that walk and they don't have to deal with it, they have their own lives they have to go back to, then everybody starts to fall off. So the only people that you have left is those ones that actually understand what that pain feels like. And that's become our biggest support system is within each other.
Yeah, and I noticed that because so many people I have talked to have been connected to y'all. it's a real thing. Like y'all not just talking. I mean, like, definitely, like, I talk to so many parents that's going through so many different things. Like, I mean, from pedestrian situations to other parents that are dealing with things, and they all connected to y'all. And I just feel like that's so amazing that you guys are there for each other, because I was having this conversation earlier about how so many people out here are dealing with a similar situation with their direct or immediate family. They don't feel like it's family anymore. They're feeling like they're finding family in strangers or people who are not blood, so to speak, right? They're finding it in other things. And the good thing about you guys is that you guys are helping each other. It's not considered a trauma bond. Mm-mm. Right? Yeah, because y'all helping other people at the same time. So in other words, you know how people throw labels on us, right? They say these two people are connected, just they trauma bonded, because in our community, they feel like that's the only way we can connect if it's off of some negative, yo, word up. But in the midst of what y'all going through is negative, and y'all turn it around and y'all help other people, that's something different. I don't think y'all get enough credit for that.
We realize, and I know, you know, Ashley and I have had this conversation, that it was kids prior to it being our kids, okay? Right. Going to be kids after it being our kids. So if we were just to come over here and we were just to focus on Eric and we were just to focus on Jalen, it does not help the problem, okay? It doesn't help the problem. And I think we were just talking on this conversation that it's one thing for us to do something because the problem is here, you know, okay, and you got this problem and we're just going to keep just dealing with this problem. But what is the solution to the problem?
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to work on. What is the solution to the problem? Not just meeting people because it's a problem and now you have this problem. What is the solution to this problem? We were actually working on something, actually had for Homicide Day, to try to, you know, bring out other youths, you know, because we know they are the ones dying. So what can we do for those that are living to prevent them from dying? It's one thing when it becomes the issue, but how do we stop this from becoming the issue? That's why you see us focus a lot on state representatives. You know, calling out state representatives, because these are the people that are in place to do the job. And if they are put in place to do the job, if they have the resources in order to make the change, that's what we're trying to hold them responsible for doing. Okay, make a change. We are living and dying in the very communities that you guys are sitting over. So when you have people that look like us, and I don't like race issues, I don't, you know, I deal with anyone, but when you have people that look like you in office, and their cities have the highest death rates, the highest, you know, problems, you know, foremost youth problems and things, that's an issue. That's an issue. Yeah. And I think they all need to open their eyes to see that if you're going to be in control of these communities, you're going to have to do the right thing about it, because you got parents like Ann Ashley that's going to call you out, going to hold you responsible for it, because we want better. If it was just about Eric, if it was just about Jalen, we'll say, okay, we got trial dates, or, you know, we're in mediation. I wish it was a lot of things that I can say on this case, and I know she wish it was a lot of things that she could say in reference to Jalen, that we just wish we can blurt it out, right, and just say it. Okay, well, if it was about our kids, we'll just say forget it. But it's bigger than our kids. Okay. It's an issue. I seen Mango on your page. I seen Mango come in it, sister. I don't know if you've seen that. So it's bigger. It's in the system. It's not just in the streets. It's in the system. Right. It's in the schools. Right. It's all around. So it's how do we save our kids to prevent them from being Jalen, to prevent them from being Eric? How do we get next to these officials that are even coming in office? We got a couple officials that we're dealing with that are running for office. So what can we do to change their mind before they get into office? It's not about just dealing with the ones that are here. We need to actually build up people to come in and let them know that you can run for these same seats. You have the power to run for these same seats. So we got a lot of different things that we're working on, and it's because it's bigger than Eric and Jalen.
Exactly. And I just want to say that I think when we first started out, our main focus was police brutality. And that was because that's how our children were affected, until, you know, we realized that it was so much bigger than our boys. There's so many kids that we got to get a hold of. We're losing so many. We know that nationwide, 18 to 24 is the largest number of the age of Black kids being killed. That is the target. And our kids fall right into that. Eric was 19, Jalen was 20. So that is the age group that we're losing. I mean, we're losing them very, very fast. So if we look at that age group, 18 to 24, think about them, the kids that are being left. So a lot of them are our parents, right? Let's just talk about the reality of it. A lot of them have children, and they will act, those children will have to pretty much raise themselves or be raised by their grandparents. Because either they're going to be incarcerated or they're going to be dead. Either from gun violence, police brutality, suicide, overdose. We have lots of issues in our community that we have to get a hold on. And with that number being 18 to 24, think about the kids that are going to be left. What we're going to do with those babies?
I know. And you're right. And that's why the world need more people like y'all, man, that see it from that perspective and not see it from a just the perspective of what happened to them, right? Because there's a lot of people who walk around with this anxiety. But like y'all said, it's the solution that the energy should be based upon, not so much the problem. We already know the problems. We know the situation with the police. We know the situation with Black men and the police. We know that when it comes down to the police, it don't matter what color they are. They do the same thing to you that the white or whoever police officer will do. You know what I'm saying? So we all know these things, but y'all are on the right path because it's the solution that we got to get to. How do we change those things? I know I said in the opening show about legislation because, you know, I started doing some research, and I think a lot of people should do that. Like, yo, whatever state they live in, just look at what are the dumbest laws in the state that I live in, right? And I'm not saying like, yo, I only said what are the dumbest because they'll find it. It's not like it's something that's just something random. They'll find them. And then when you pull it up and you'll see like so many different things that technically can be used against you in a place that you actually pay taxes at. Right, because these police officers that do these things, they get paid by the very same people that get up and go to work every day. Like, you know, you both of you said y'all sons work and they had a job. I know for you, Ashley, he was in Memphis, but at the end of the day, his family is there. I'm sure people got jobs. jobs out there. They pay, you know, taxes for these police to come out and help them, and then these police turn around and do. We pay to get terrorized in our own neighborhood. Exactly. That's the saddest thing, yo. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's why we should be able to step to any person that's in any seat, whether the state representative or whoever, you know what I mean, should be able to take this calling out that y'all do, because at the end of the day, like, what more can y'all do? Like, that's crazy that we gotta pay for people to take our children from us. Like, how does that work, man? Right?
Yeah,
like,
you pay for it. Yeah, you're in homes. You're like, you were speaking on homes, and let me tell you, home ownership was a big thing to me. I've been here now for 15 years, and actually, now I'm working on some changes right now, but I've been here for 15 years. That was a big thing to me. And when I realized that I was paying taxes to a congressman, now I'm paying taxes, and it's a congressman that is over my county that I die in and over the county in which my son died in. This man has been in Congress forever. So you're collecting money, right, off of home ownership. You know, you're collecting money. We're taught that, hey, this home, you know, you get this home. This is the American dream. And then you realize the things that can be held against you. I no longer want this home because I realize the fight that I'm in, it may not come with a lot of people come at you for your house. Okay. Because you find out it's collateral to them. All right. So what I feel like I own is now collateral for you. And you can come at me behind something that I own. So it makes you almost not value the things that they told you you needed, because you're realizing where your money is going. It's like they taking Eric took. It put me to a realization that a lot of things that I had been taught was not the truth. Right. You know, and it's sad because, you know, everybody say, oh, well, you know, you want a house, but do you really want to pay tax dollars or extra tax dollars outside of your regular store dollars? Do you really want to pay extra tax dollars to people that are not serving you? And do you really want to make it to where they can come out here and they can host these parties? We went to something called 404 Day down here, and we met a couple politicians. And it's, oh, 404 Day. You're celebrating a zip code that young men are dying in by numbers, okay? And you guys are out here, and they're celebrating, and they're partying, and we're paying for that. So if we're going to party, if we're going to celebrate, if you guys are going to throw events, guess what? We're going to be there. We're going to come there. If we're going to pay you, guess what? We're going to show up. So while you guys are partying, we're going to be out there, and you're going to see these kids that has lost their lives. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear these issues, because we're finding out sometimes you got to meet them where they are. That's and right. I feel like we're too complacent. We'll allow these people to sit in position, and we won't even go to their event, you know, but you'll go to the party that they're going to throw. But you won't go when they're sitting down making laws. You don't want to go when you have the ability to sit down in some of these meetings. It's just as simple as going, you guys. And I don't want to feel like that we are the reason that we go. But if we don't start standing up behind these lives, if we're going to just wait till someone die to say their name or to make an issue or just wait on more to go, but we're not going to make a solution to stop them from going, but we're going to wait on more to go. And then once they go, we'll contact the state official again. No, you contact that state official. You tell them we're tired of them going. We want to stop to this. We need changes to this, and we got to stand on it. Otherwise, we're going to be the reason that we die.
Facts.
Or well find, start hitting them in the pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't want to listen, then we need to start either taking jobs, seeing that they don't get that position anymore, or we need to start hitting the city, which is what we're paying for. We're paying for it anyway, so we'll just be getting our money back. I mean, at the end of the day. But we're going to have to, it's going to have to be something drastic that we're going to have to do to make a stop. And it's not just, and I always say, it's not just the politicians or the government that's a problem. We are our own problem as well. Parents have to take accountability as well. So it's going to be something that we're all going to have to come. It's a collective. We're all going to have to come together on to find a solution. If the parents care about their kids, then you need to hold yourself accountable as well as the government so that we can protect these children. Because in a minute, we ain't going to have any children to give gifts to. We're not going to have any children to graduate to be upcoming lawyers and doctors and things like that. We're going to be visiting the cemetery. And when does the cemetery going to close? Because it ain't going to be no room for anybody else to be buried. Those are the things that we're going to be looking at versus going to somebody's graduation saying, hey, you did it. I'm proud of you.
Right. That's a fact. And then we got it. And y'all both hit the nail on the head with that. You know, we got to hold ourselves accountable. We got to be prepared. That's what I was saying about D.C. Like, yo, we shouldn't be out there protesting that they're trying to clean up crime and all this other stuff that's just been going on running rampant. Why should we all be in agreement just because it's got something to do with black people? No, we should not be acting like that in the first place. I say this all the time. When it comes down to black people, if we really are supposed to be who we are or whatever, that's why I don't like calling us that color. Because that color gives us no identity. It gives us nothing to grasp onto. It just puts us in like some sort of box, but it gives us no nothing, right? To call ourselves that color. But the way that they got us set up is like, yo, we should be able to go anywhere in America where we are. Like, we should be safe everywhere that we are, but we're not. Okay. We're in the most harm everywhere that we are. And that's the saddest part about it. Like, we all share the same struggles. We all had to pretty much grow up similar, the same way. Yeah, there's other people who are privileged to have parents before them that did the right thing. You know what I mean? But for some of us, that didn't happen. So for those that didn't happen, we all had to share the same similar story. But yet, we get harmed by the people who look like us more than we get harmed by the people who don't. It's just that the people who don't get paid from it.
Right. I was wondering that, and I'm glad you said that, Rashid, because that's what's getting me confused with this. Why is it that our neighborhoods, most of our neighborhoods in our area, and I don't care whether you're considered in the suburbs or whatever, but where you are majority, most of our neighborhoods are ran by us. So how is it that our neighborhoods are ran by us and we are the ones suffering the most? That's when color doesn't become an issue to me. That's why it's hard for me to stick on color or to look at one race as doing this, because this is what you was taught. This race does this to you. This race discriminates against you. These people are not for you. But if these people are not for us, why is it our areas are the ones that are suffering the most, and they are ran by people that look like us?
That's a fact.
I don't get it.
I don't all. Because hate is a strong emotion, right? And I think, you know, that's the emotion that makes people feel the most in their flesh is hate. You know what I mean? It's like a real dynamic. It's really hard for people to get over that. You know, they got some people who got petty differences that they don't get over just because of the way it makes them feel, right? They gotta have something negative going on in order for them to feel like that's life, because it's like an expectation thing that I think the reason why they do it, because they expect the person to already be negative. Because look at somebody else and just to look at them with good intentions, it's very hard to find people that way now, you know? But and that's why I say the term friend, like, people use the term friend very loosely.
I think
friend should really mean something, not just somebody that you know. I think to call a person a friend, it should be deeper than just how simple the word is. What do y'all think about that?
I agree. I think that we've, even the term sister or brother, I think we're using those so loosely as well. And it's like we're trained to now say, hey, I want to have more of a support system. So I'm just going to accept anything that comes in if it looks good or it looks like it's supportive. Versus back from when we was taught when we was younger, that you just don't call anybody your friend. You just don't call anybody your sister. Those are just those are acquaintances. Those are just people that you met. Those are just, and that's it. I think we have to get back to that. I know that's what I was taught when I was a child. We didn't just have a whole bunch of friends, and I don't have a whole bunch of friends now, but it was, those are your acquaintances. Those are just people that you've met along the way. Don't get upset if they're not your friend tomorrow, because they were never your friend. I think we always looking for a support system. And so we're throwing everybody in this in this bowl or however you want to call it, with everybody in the same category of if they look like they're supporting you, that they're going to always support you and always have your back. And that's not the case because of hatred, because of jealousy, and envy and all those things. Everybody wants to feel important, not understanding that they were already important anyway. And it doesn't take one person or a situation to make you more important than the next. Why does it matter?
Right. Yeah, that's facts. Validation. People, yo, and it's so transactional too with a lot of people too with things like that. But that validation is mean, yo, right?
Yeah.
Right?
It takes you to go through something to really realize who a friend is. And you know, I grew up on that. They're your associates. I got a son now. You dare can't tell him friend. He's like, no, that's not my friend. It's an associate. So a lot of people we associate with, that don't mean they have the best interest for you. And it really takes for you to go through something to find out who really has your back and who's there for you. And I'm not talking about nothing small, but when you go through something, or if you have a disagreement, or maybe a time where you know, something don't sit right, that's when you're going to find out who friends is, because a real friend is going to stick it out. A real friend is going to be there through you, with you through your go through. But sometimes we just adapt people just because we're going alone. Anybody will be your friend if you're doing good. Go through something. And you'll find out who your friends are.
That's a fact.
I think now is our like biggest lesson. I feel like I always say that my son, Jalen, has taught me more since he's been gone than I was probably ever able to teach him while he was alive. I have learned so much, things that I probably wouldn't have went through or even came across unless I was put into this position that I am in now. And he's been my biggest teacher, like literally, because there's a lot that goes on in this movement and on the front lines, in the back, and you just see it all, from family to activists to organizations to media to politician. When I say we see it all, we see it all. There is not one area that you don't get hit with something. And so you do have to have that tough skin. You do have to be very vocal and visible of what's going on around you, because there is so many things going on. And you just never know when something gonna sneak up on you. And you're gonna be like, oh my goodness, did this just happen? Because you wasn't prepared. So you do have to have that tough skin. You do have to build those boundaries. Because I get a lot of times people like, oh, she's so mean. I have to protect myself. Right. If you get to know me, you'll know that I'm the nicest person. I would do whatever. But there is a boundary that I had to learn to set, even when it came with impacted families, because I will overwork myself and I'll pull be like, nope, we're not taking no more families. And I'll be like, nope, And then I'll sneak up and do something crazy. And she looking at me like, I thought you said this was it, that you was done. So that's where
we're solutions. And we're solutions. And I don't, and Ashley, I love her because she's a go-getter on a lot of things. And like she said, I do sit back on some things and I'm like, no, because I don't like to get caught in the problem. The problem is we are dying. We know we are dying. We know we're being taken by the police. We know that. Ashley wants to fix all the situations, and she wants to fix it, and she's gonna take everybody that died, and she's gonna put some flowers out here for them, and we're gonna have bags of flowers. And I'm like, okay, Ashley, we got all these flowers, we got these people. And then you got to be careful, because a lot of parents, you know, and I'll say this the best way I can, some people are put in situations, and they're users. Okay. Yeah. They're users. They're greedy. They're energy hoggers. Mm-hmm. Their focus is maybe different from ours.
Yeah.
And we can't focus on that. If we don't have a solution, we keep dying. And I understand that you guys are going to call Ashley because she's putting up these, she going to make your baby pretty, and she's going to put some flowers out for him. She's going to call him out. But if you call her for all of that, when do we have time to work on the solutions? And I think that was our biggest thing. And that was our advice. You know, like I said, we never been perfect with each other. Yep,
that was definitely our run in. And it's still a run in. It's still a run in because I am I'm more the creative person. Like, that's just who I am. I've always been like that. So I see things through a different lens. Whereas who is that more, okay, politics, that, you know, grounded. I'm more the, oh, let's just do this, make it so pretty and let's do this, because I feel like, I know that people look at things differently. So you have different types of people, right? You have people that are listeners. You have people that are more visual people. Then you have people that can do both. Well, I just know that with our generation, with the kids that we have, they're into performing arts, their music, their draw, fashion. Yeah. And so that's where I kind of got that connected. Like, okay, we got to get their attention too, because we can get the politicians. We can get all of them. We can get us old folks, you know, because we're aging out too, right? But we got to get that younger generation's attention so that we can kind of put that hold, that stop. So what is it that we have to do to get their attention? So we got to build 500 cemeteries out there with flowers and some pictures. They going out there, you know what I'm saying? And I let Pooh deal with the politicians. I'll let her reach out to the politicians and talk to them, because I'm really the shy one. I'm not, I don't like to be in the spotlight. Like, I like to be behind the scene. Let me just go throw some something together and get out the way. I'm not that. Right. See, she on the go. I just be following her. when she moves, she'll tell us we need to go to this. She's one that goes to the council meetings, you know, and will stand up there and talk. So that is just her arena of things. I kind of just do my little creative thing and just do whatever she tell me to do when it comes to that, because I'm the shy one. I don't really want to speak.
Yeah, but that's what make y'all a good team. And I think that's the dynamic, because look, we all got a purpose, right? And I say this a lot about our road to our purpose. We don't always know how we're going to get there. And once we get there and we figure that out, it's our duty to fully live in our purpose, man. Mm-hmm. And the fact that y'all have discovered that y'all have great talents to be able to work together, but be able to do things differently. It's just now, it's just y'all getting into that manifestation stage, because it's going to bring other people that is going to help around it, right? Because the one thing about it is that y'all could do everything that both of you guys want to do. It's just going to take more than just you guys to do it, right? But that's the part about what y'all said about people being draining when it comes down to certain families, because, you know, certain people in general, they like that attention. You know, people who always want to go to the doctor for everything, people who always got a problem for everything. They like that energy of always having a problem with something. They very seldom see the solution. So even they bring that, like I tell you, like, listen, people don't think that manifestation works on both ends. It does. If they always speaking in that negative space and then something negative happens, and then now they get around other people who's trying to get through that negative place, they just want everybody to feel negative. You know what I'm saying? Because that makes them feel good, because it's a place of attention, and that's where you got to cut people off. The saddest part about it is it's not about them, it's about the person that they here for.
Right? I think so many of them are traumatized. So, like, if we look at it from both ends, like, are we saying that they're all just negative because they're just negative? We definitely got some of those. We do have a lot of those. But then we have some that have been through so much with different organizations and community activists that they have just shut down. They don't know what to do, and they are coming off negative because that's like their defense. They're, you know, to protect themselves. They don't understand that it is draining when people are trying to work with you, because that's their mechanism to, like, let me just stay back, and then look what happens. Then they don't fight for their families. We're out here doing the work for them. When their families get overlooked by a mistake, now we're getting calls and text messages like we just intentionally forgot about them or things like that. It's a defensive that they have just put up, like, because they've been burned. So yeah. I don't even know at what point can we say who's all really draining, because they just some real negative people. Like, we got, you know, you have those people that are just negative. Or do we need to change the culture of how impacted families are being worked with different organizations?
That's it. No. That's it. The culture has to be done differently, right? No one can come in expecting a handout. Everybody has to come in expecting to give, because the more you give, the more you receive.
That's right.
The point is, that's the problem. A lot of people come in with this mentality of, I'm supposed, like, it's about me. And I don't mean it like where it's like selfish. It's just that we understand that tragically is the reason why you're here. We get that. But that's the reason why everybody is here. So if you want your child to be represented, or your loved one, whoever that may be, to be represented, then you personally got to represent somebody else's child or the other children that are involved. That's the culture that has to be brought into play. It has to be brought into a play where we got to look at it the same way that we would want to be looked at if the shoe was on the other foot. Like, for example, if you know that you are dealing with stuff that financially, that it's not going to work for you to be able to fight for your child's case or your loved one's case the way that you want to, or even to get things started. So now you're looking around trying to figure out how somebody could give you something versus you looking like how you could get with other people and y'all can create something with you.
That's right.
It shouldn't just be, well, how can I get somebody to donate to me? It should be about, yo, how can we all come together and get some money together? And yeah, we could split. And then this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Like, yo, the more that's in, the more you make. We got this mentality thinking that the pot need to come more to one person in order for it to be something. They don't understand that the more that work, the more come in. Right. And so everybody can have an opportunity to help pay for some things, get some things moving on. But you got to have the mindset of coming in with service, although tragically, right, is the reason why you here. Because even that's why everybody else.
Even for you guys, Rashid, and that's why, you know, from the beginning, and Ashley will tell you, as many podcasts I don't do. Rashid, you know, I called you. I said, okay, now I'm ready for another one, you know. And yeah, and I don't do it. It's a lot of podcasts I don't do. It's a lot of media news I don't do. But I respected you from the beginning. And I'm one of them people that when I bond with some, I bond.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. And not just in us supporting each other, but you got to support these podcasts like Rashid. Because you can run over here to all the other ones that you feel like, they're supposed to be this big person. But if you're constantly feeding to those, then what are happening to the people that are actually getting out the truth? What are happening to your Rashids? So that's why I stick with certain people, because I believe in truth. And I don't care how small the number is. Some things, you can have a group of 12 do more than a group of 50. Because if those 12 people are actually putting in the work, that 12 can do more than 50. So I don't have to go and be on this top podcast or this person that has a million feeds or a million followers. I don't want them, because clearly they've been here long enough and maybe part of the problem. Take me to the Rashids. Take me to the one that's going to hear my story. Take me to the one that's going to get out the truth. Take me to the one that you're going to see, like he said, many different people over here. If you watch his podcast, you got many different people, different backgrounds, okay? So those are the people that we need to stand behind. It's not about each other. Yes, we have been affected, okay? We've been affected by this brutality or, you know, homicide or whatever the case may be. But you got to work with the people that are working with you. You can't come in here expecting to be serviced and you're not giving out any service. We got to be willing to give to each other, because we give out on empty. Okay. Right. We don't have, you know, just to say no monies, or, you know, we don't have the big lawyers, you know, that passing out the envelope for people to come out here and stand and rally. You know, sometimes we go out there by ourselves. We stood in front of precincts by ourselves, and maybe a couple people come up, but you got to be willing to service the people that are helping to service you. Stop just pulling.
Stop and pulling. Understand that unity means more than what we've given it the definition of. I think we've stopped at what unity actually is, because when you hear the word unity, all the people want to think about is protests and marches when it comes to the movement. But understanding unity is coming together and giving a service regardless of what it is. So if you are a photographer and that is your talent, use your talent. If you are a graphic designer, if you, I mean, you can, it, you could be a front line, somebody that's on the front line, and because Portia's really good at being on the megaphone. That's just what she does. And Portia is Black Lives Matter here in Atlanta. So I just threw that out there because there are so many different things that you can do. You don't necessarily have to be in the front. You don't have to be in the spotlight. It's whatever talent that you have that you can bring to the table that we can grow from. That is the unity that we need.
Right.
Because nobody's talent is like, nobody's talent can go to waste. There's so many things you can do. If you're a drawer, you draw. You know?
Definitely.
We can use you.
Yeah. And you made a valid point, because that's the thing that we want people to know, is that, you know, if you come in willing to give, then you will definitely get, right? And I think that's the thing, like, cuz we shouldn't have any expectation, cuz what we learning about this life is that you know, if you believe whatever you believe in, right? I know people have their different beliefs out here in the world, but if they do believe in a higher power, then they can understand that, you know, the people that are supposed to be in your life is going to be sent to your life, or you're going to be sent to them. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to go looking for people to be in your life. That's really just not supposed to be there. Because a lot of times when we go looking for people to be there, we get the wrong person. Right? Because we're looking for them. But if we just be in our space and be in our energy, the right people are going to come. Like, we attract them, like, to, like the magnet, like the opposite magnet, right? We attract them. And the families got to understand that, too, that's going through. Like, they got to understand that. If you decide that this is the energy you want to get, then you got to come in with a spirit of Thanksgiving. Like, yo, let me, because they, you know, like y'all said, some people be burnt so much that they don't even want to talk. They don't even have conversation no more. Imagine if they could just have a conversation with one of y'all and they can help talk them through out of them dark times. But they burning bridges because they in an emotion. And I think that that's what makes y'all so dope, because not only do y'all go through y'all own, like y'all said earlier in the show, we have our moments, we get in our corners and we do whatever we got to do, closets or whatever. But the fact that y'all do that, like you do the monuments, y'all do go out there and talk to the city council meetings and stuff like that. So what I want to do before we get out of here, I want people to know a little bit more about the Say They Names monuments, right? So tell the people how often it is, when is it coming up in 2026, and, you know, just a little bit about, you know, what that represents, because I think it's a genius. I think that once this thing spreads, like, it's going to be something major. And I just think it just needs to take a lot more of visual. Like, we got to market it a lot more, right? Because it got to move around. Because I'm telling you something, it's one thing for people to ride through any major city and see a statue or a monument of a person that really used to be a slave owner, or a person that really used to be, you know what I'm saying? Or a person that really used to be some other, you know what I mean? But in order for us to go around and say that these people are just as important as the people y'all celebrate as whatever, in any capacity they can have that, whether the monument could be at their crib, whether it could be in any other space that they can have that, just to show just how much reverence they give to the person that, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, that was taken or however it worked out. So let's talk about that real quick, because I need people to know about that.
Okay, so first you guys can go to www.saytheirnamesmonuments.com. That is our website. If you have a loved one that you want to be remembered, it does not matter if it is police brutality, gun violence, gang violence, domestic violence, suicide, overdose. We know everyone wants their loved one remembered, and that's what we're doing. So if they've been impacted by systematic injustices by any way, they can be remembered. So right now, the next event that we have coming up is the Remembrance of Homicide Victims. And why this is so important, because a lot of people, we categorize and put different loved ones in different categories. So for Jalen, Jalen's police brutality, but he was homicide. So that will make him a homicide victim.
Right.
So he, even though he was police brutality, he was killed by a gun. That would make him, it would still fall under gun violence. So a lot of times we have to understand that we're so busy trying to separate everybody. And a lot of times, a lot of our loved ones can fall in some of these other organizations that can either get your loved one remembered. It can get you additional funding for something that you may be trying to do. It can give you that help that that you may be looking for, those resources. So I want to throw that out there, that just don't put your loved one in that one category. Look at the whole picture and figure out the different categories that your loved one fall in. And then those places, those nonprofit organizations, they can give you some resources that you may need, even if it's just grief counseling. So that's one thing. Also, so September the 25th here in Atlanta, we will have the first, which is very exciting to say, Remembrance of Homicide Victims. And it will be in Atlanta. I have not put the location out, so please follow my page, because that'll tell you how you can get your loved one remembered. But we will have the state representative out. We'll have some organizations, some resources out. I strongly suggest to get those babies out, get these kids out so they can see other kids their age that have been taken from either gun violence, suicide. Sometimes kids need a visual. We can drill it. Parents, we drill it all day long. How many times it takes for them to have to lose somebody for them to see, okay, I don't want to go that route. So sometimes it takes that. So we will have some other youth out there speaking about their tragic incidents that they had from loved ones. Either they was incarcerated or gun violence. So we want you to bring your babies out there so they can hear these stories. Because again, it starts at home. We have to educate. Education is very, very important. And it just it may take one child, that if it takes one child at the event that we can change life, then we've done something. If we can change two or three lives, then we're doing even better. So bring them out on September 25th. We will have the location out. It's from 6:30 to 8:30. So you guys will, most people will be off of work, and it is in the city. We will have the Say Their Name monuments out, and they will be divided in different categories. So if you want to take your child to walk in a category that's police brutality, they'll see all those people over there were killed by the police. You take your child over here, they'll see all these loved ones were taken by suicide. So it'll be broken down for them to be able to see visually how many lives are being lost so that everybody can come together and we can see how many of these babies we can actually save.
And I do want to bring this up before we get off of here, Rashid. We are working with a few colleges, campuses, where we're trying to get out these fentanyl kits, okay?
Yeah.
Because we, like you said, it's different levels. So we're trying to stop it from actually becoming a problem, okay? So we're trying to stop from having to remember all these names. So we are working with a couple campuses that we will be passing out fentanyl kits on. We can't stop him from using drugs, okay? That's something that you can't stop. Do you want to? Yes. So we're going to be targeting a couple campuses. We do have two that we'll be working with in order to get out fentanyl kits to some of these youths. We also started something called Cut the Cake. That'll be released on Eric's birthday on September the 12th. We'll be doing that quarterly. And what it allows you to do is to still celebrate your loved one birthday, okay? So versus us doing it like monthly. So we're going to release that on Eric's birthday. It'll actually be September the 12th. We're going to do a block party. It's going to be our first one, so don't hold us to the numbers. We said if we can get 25, we'll be good. We have more than 10 today. But so we're going to do something called Cut the Cake. And what that allows us to do is to not only celebrate those that are deceased, but those that are living, you come in and you cut a cake too, okay?
That's right.
So you cut a cake, celebrate your birthdays, because we want more birthdays. That's what we're trying to get to. How do we get more birthdays? How do we allow these kids to want to live? Well, if they see the amount that's dying, maybe that'll give them an opportunity and a chance to actually want to live. So we got a couple things we're working on. Cut the Cake is something that we'll be releasing September the 12th. Homicide Day will be September the 25th, like she said, in Atlanta. We have had a couple representatives to sign up for that, and we just keep it moving.
That's amazing. And that's what I'm just saying, like, yo, the whole time, how selfless you guys are and what you guys really do and to help people, and, you know, how you are there for each other, but you put yourselves in a position to be there for others if only they would, you know, look at it from the right lens so they could be able to pour into y'all as well too, because, you know, y'all cups get empty too, like y'all said. And I'm just thankful for y'all, man. Thank y'all again for making sure that y'all always keep me in the loop. And I see that other things that I be doing, like other shows and stuff, y'all be on there too. Y'all be checking it out, especially with some of the other parents and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all love when it comes down to us. And I'm going to get down to some of y'all events. I just be doing the most. I be filming. I got clothing on, you know what I'm saying? I'm running, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to make myself available for y'all, man, when I can, and make sure I at least do this, because this is what's important. Because we move this stuff around on social media, and that's what we need to do. Like, that's how we're gonna get the word out, right?
That's it.
We gotta do that. So either way, it's gonna be all love when it comes. But I'm coming. I'm getting to some of y'all events. I'm gonna come down and I'm gonna cover it. I've been talking to other platforms too that I'm connected with. So I wanna get you guys on there too, because, you know, that particular thing in itself, and like I said, those events that y'all are throwing, we got to have more of those, and even if it has to travel in different states, because the way that it needs to look, it doesn't need to look like it's just something that only happens in one area, right? Because it's happening all over, and it also gives us a chance to build a bigger network of support. Right? Because that's what it needs to do. This thing needs to turn into a festival. Not because we want to, for people to keep continuing to add to the numbers. No. We want to try, like y'all said, stop the numbers right where it's at. Let these monuments that we already have be the representative of those that are not here and for those that we're keeping here. Right? Men have a double whammy. It can't just be looked at as this is just the representative of someone that's not here. This is also the representative of the people who are saying we want to stop it here. Right? No matter what section they walk in, we want to make sure that it stops there. Overdose, we want to make sure it stops there. Police brutality, we want to make sure it stops there. These are the people, right, that sacrifice them to have the reason why you guys are alive right now. We want to have that type of scenario, right? This needs to be bigger than just what it is. And I know I'm speaking in a little further out, right, because we got to crawl before we walk. But I just want y'all to know that on the other end, I see the vision, and I think other people will see the vision too. And that's the ultimate goal. It's not to be famous. It's to be able to make sure that this thing stops. Because the more people know that y'all are out here, the more they're going to tighten up. Because when we start hitting them pockets, it's going to change things.
That's it. That's it.
Exactly. Right? You're not famous and dead. You can't get famous and you're dead. And I want people to understand that this is not a fame thing, okay? Our kids are dead. Do you want your child to die in order to become famous or for somebody to say your name? No. So it's not about fame. It's not about fortune. It's about stopping what's happening so that you can get to fame and you can get to fortune if you're alive eventually. And if you want to be famous, I've never been one to want to be famous, okay? She'll tell you I don't even do phones or media. We cut down pages, right? I cut down the last page. It's not about fame. It's not about fortune. It's about stopping what happened. We only found out because ours made it here. Okay. So that's the thing. And when you're speaking on nationwide, that's why Ashley put out a lot of nationwide initiatives to say it's not saying, hey, well, just Georgia doing it or Tennessee is doing it. It's saying, hey, everybody do it. You don't have to do exactly what we're doing, but do something because it has to stop.
That's right.
We've had a couple of different states that have joined us, like Memphis. They did a Say They Name event. Virginia did one. So there's some other places. It's just we can't be everywhere all the time. So it's building those groups that have enough faith in themselves to say, hey, we can do it here. So we've had states that want us to come, but I mean, we just regular people, you know, like we don't get the funding.
We got to figure that out. So, that's another thing.
We're definitely working on it. It's definitely because it took us a minute. Now I will say we didn't even want to touch anything nonprofit just because of our experience that we've had with them. And we realized that we need the funding for us to get our mission, for us to get the job done. There's some things that we're going to have to do. Will we, you know, solely just really just be head over heels about nonprofits? Of course not. Because we know at the end of the day, it's a money game.
Yep.
And again, money is not what's important to us. It's actually real change, real justice. That's what we're wanting. That's what we're expect to see. So. That's the goal.
We need money. No, we need
money. But we need money.
And we're not going, that's what I'm saying. We're not going to speak against it because that's the point. Y'all said everything that was right. It ain't about fame. It ain't about fortune. Nope. Everybody know that this fight is going, we need that paper. So
we do. We need the money. We need the support. We need the parents to donate. A lot of times we do so much, it's coming out of our pockets, and we're recognizing loved ones all over the world. From Iraq to Georgia, from California to Virginia. So we need people to donate. Even if you got $2, donate.
There it is.
Donate. Whatever you got.
We got a couple of comments we're going to read real quick before we get out of here because I know you ladies are busy. So we got one. This one is from Meg. She was about the friend comment from back in for a little while back. She said a friend is generally defined as a person to whom one has a bond of mutual affection, trust, and support. Unlike family or romantic partners, a friend is typically someone you choose to have in your life because of shared values, experiences, or companionship. A friend is someone you can confide in, rely on, and share both joys and hardships with. And a broader use, friend can also mean an ally or supporter, an acquaintance, and social environmental influences. I think this is the end of it right here. So, which I agree with Meg on that definition, that is it. And I think that a lot of people, if they know that they don't fit that criteria, they should not expect that from somebody else. That's the main thing about the whole friend thing. Like, if you know that you can't check those things off that box, then you shouldn't expect nobody else to check them for you.
Let's
see. We got Mango up here. Mango said finding motivation is something that always helps, which is amazing because we always got to find a place for motivation. And then he also said to you too, such an inspiration. Because I connected with him through y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you know, me and was the first, you know, on your show.
So that's why I said, y'all do it, yo. Y'all do it. All right. So look, So to all the people that watched tonight, thank y'all, man. I definitely appreciate y'all. It was a bunch of y'all that jumped off and on. We got a lot of comments and we got a lot of people interacting. I thank y'all, man. And to my guests tonight, y'all already know the vibe, man. I definitely appreciate y'all. Y'all always come with them. You know, y'all come in, y'all give me that info. And I'm glad I'm one of the people that you guys decide to share your information with. And the fact that, you know, we don't get into a whole bunch of, you know, trying to get into y'all business, although we know that what y'all dealing with is mad serious, right? Because, you know, listen, them trials and all them things that y'all got going on, that's that real info. We can't get into that, right? Because we know that that's the system, the information that come with that is what people don't know. Discoveries, yeah. Words like discovery.
Exactly. You
know what that is?
Motion. You know what I'm saying?
So motions and stuff like yeah. that. So those are the type of things that, but it's coming and we're going to get to it. But other than that, all of y'all out there, thank y'all, man. And I want y'all to know that each and every week, I know what I do. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. I need y'all to stay tuned, keep it locked. Join me next Tuesday. I'm going to have another amazing guest on and we're going to get to it, all right? So I say the same thing to y'all like I say every week. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next time, peace.